But let me just tell you that the enemy is no match for our Lord. And if you seek the Lord and the devil comes around, the Bible tells us clearly you need to just submit to God. Resist the devil and he'll flee from you.
Welcome to the Beverly Boulevard Foursquare Church. It's Sunday, January 4th, 2026. Pastor Zoni is speaking. Today's message is entitled Ebenezer, and our text comes to us from 1 Samuel chapter 7, verses 2 through 12. And now here's Pastor Zoni.
This is the first Sunday of 2026, and it's a very special Sunday as we begin with our foot forward, asking the Lord to bless us and to strengthen us and to make this the most remarkable year we've ever lived. You have not lived 2026 yet. You haven't. You've already done with 2025. How happy are you with 2025? I'm okay with it, but I think there is room for improvement. And so this morning, I'd like to address those improvements that we may need to inaugurate, to begin. And so our scripture today, it's in the Old Testament, is on 1 Samuel chapter 7, verses 2 through 12. And let's read it. Now, there's something else I'd like to encourage you to do. We put them in the screen, you know, we always do. But, you know, maybe we should dedicate one Sunday out of the month that you bring your Bible, and we won't use the screen for you to bring your Bible. Of course, you bring your iPhone, so what am I talking about? Okay. Things are so different from where it was so many years ago. But just bring your Bible. Let's look at it. 1 Samuel 7, verses 2 through 12. The ark remained at Kiriath Jearim a long time, 20 years in all. And Samuel subdued the Philistines at Mizpah, and then all the people of Israel turned back to the Lord. So Samuel said to the Israelites, "If you're returning to the Lord with all your hearts, then rid yourselves of the foreign gods and of the Asherites, and commit yourself to the Lord and serve him only, and he will deliver you out of the hands of the Philistines." By the way, we always face the Philistines. Let's move on. So the Israelites put away their Baals and Asherites and served the Lord only. And then Samuel said, "Assemble all of Israel at Mizpah, and I will intercede with the Lord for you." When they had assembled at Mizpah, they drew water and poured it out before the Lord. And on that day, they fasted. What did they do? They fasted. And there they confessed. "We have sinned against the Lord." Now Samuel was serving as leader of Israel at Mizpah. When the Philistines heard that Israel had assembled at Mizpah, the rulers of the Philistines came up to attack them. When the Israelites heard it, they were afraid because of the Philistines. Verse 8, they said to Samuel, Do not stop crying out to the Lord our God for us, that he may rescue us from the hand of the Philistines. Then Samuel took a suckling lamb and sacrificed it as a whole burnt offering to the Lord. He cried unto the Lord on Israel's behalf. And the Lord, what? Answered him. Verse 10. While Samuel was sacrificing the burnt offering, the Philistines drew near to engage Israel in battle. But that day, the Lord, what?
Thundered
with a loud thunder against the Philistines and threw them into such panic that they were routed before the Israelites. Verse 12, and the men of Israel rushed out to Mizpah and pursued the Philistines, slaughtering them along the way to a point below Beth Kar. And verse 12, then Samuel took up a stone and set it up between Mizpah and Shem. He named it Ebenezer, saying, "Thus far, the Lord has helped us." Shall we say together that last line? Thus far, the Lord. And that's our testimony in 2026, the first Sunday of the year. May God bless the reading of his word. One of the most important things to know is that God has blessed us. Up to now, the Lord has been good to us. I can think of my own life, and I said, the Lord has been very good to me. He's been very good to all of us. Very good to us. In so many ways, he speaks to us and strengthens us and blesses us. But at the same time, as I review my own life and the life maybe of the whole church, I still think that there's some areas in my life that I can improve, that I can seek further, that I could refine, that I can polish before the Lord. I don't want to drag 2025 into 2026. I want 2026 to be the year of absolute blessing and opportunity before the Lord. I want to be one of those people who does not going to allow the hit and miss type of Christianity. Like Christianity that is committed, where prayers are occasional, where prayers are nothing more than a panic button, and you pray only when there is a need. That's why the 21 days of fasting and prayer are so important. They tend to reset the clock, so to speak, to reintroduce to our own hearts and soul a relationship with the Lord, a cleaner, closer relationship with the Lord, that the Lord not only answers our distress, but that he longs to have a relationship with us every single day of our lives. We all have friends. True friends are always there in a time of need. But true friends are also there when there is no need. When you have a chat, when you converse, when you talk. And knowing the Lord means just that, a relationship with him. You can speak and talk to him, and there is this relationship, this reacquaintance with the one who loves you so much. And so when sometimes I think of last year, I find that at times, our prayers were occasional, but our compromises were frequent, where any type of excuse was good enough to falter on the things that God has called us to do and to be. I'm not preaching down. I'm saying to you the truth, that all of us need to identify those areas in our armor that need to be reinforced and re-strengthened. So, when we allow circumstances to dictate our walk with the Lord, then our devotion is diluted. I'm not asking you to wear a monk suit, to go into hiding somewhere, but to be responsible, to be committed to those areas that God has called us to be everything for his glory. Now, in 1 Samuel, we find that the Israelites were really going through some rough times. For 20 years, they messed around with the Lord. 20 years. But what happened was that as the 20 years were coming around, they began to seek the Lord. And yet, as they were seeking the Lord, they still were keeping their habits, their idols. It's like, well, you know what it's like. They wanted God's help, but they did not want to make a commitment to follow him. In other words, they had a consumer God. I go to God when I need something, but when I don't need anything, I'll do whatever I want. And today we're living in a very difficult society and a very difficult time, but it doesn't take the place of a heart that needs to be committed to the Lord and to make room and space for him to grow in our hearts. The Ebenezer, the stone that was lifted up by the prophet, speaks about making a comeback, making a determination, making a decision, providing a symbol, a remembrance. It remembers that in spite of what goes on in our lives, God still has helped us. 20 years that were not really fruitful, God didn't let go. But do not take God's love and mercy as a way of continuing areas in our lives that need to be revoked and changed. God's mercy is there, and God's love is there. But God wants us to move from compromise to consecration. He wants you to look at those areas in our lives that need adjusting. Some of us need a tune-up, but some of us need an overhaul. You choose. You choose. You choose. It's not God bashing you, but it's God speaking to you to say that there's a better life. There's a better way to live. There's an abundance of life, rivers of living water. What are those rivers of living water? I know it's raining, but that's not what we're talking about. I'm talking about that effervescence, that strength, that push that comes from the inside, where you know that God is working in your life and in your heart. When you make a commitment and you realize that things are not as they should be, Samuel tells the people, if you're returning with all your heart, then put away your foreign gods. If you want the Lord to bless you and to strengthen you, then you need to do something. This is the big problem we have often in Christian life, that we think that we don't have to do anything. Well, God saved me and that's free. Yeah, salvation is free, but there's something else going on that God is working in you. And that something else is God working in your heart and you acquiring the character of Christ. How is Christ becoming real in your everyday life? How is Christ working in there? And see, the biggest God we have is self. And there's issues in there that need to be kind of fine-tuned. Actually, if you take a sledgehammer, you won't do too much damage. Things that need to be broken up because they interfere with the Lord's moving in your life and in your heart. I don't care how old you are or how many years you've been in the ministry or how many years you've been a Christian. I'm telling you, there's always room for you to improve your walk with the Lord. So Samuel says, put away your foreign God. So we come close to God, and that's wonderful. But that's not the end of the story. There are things in your life that you need to make a commitment to put away because they are foreign and they are gods. In other words, we're saying that this morning we need to do a U-turn of the soul. A U-turn in our behavior patterns. It doesn't come easily, but it comes with your commitment to think differently. Repentance means to think differently, to think another way. All of a sudden, you say, hey, that's not how it should be done. And so when you repent, you think differently, and you do things differently. And so we find that feeling bad doesn't really do anything. It really doesn't feel bad. It just feels guilty. You know, guilt, what does it say? Guilt is the biggest waste of effort. Guilt doesn't get you anything. No. Feeling bad doesn't do much for you. We need a reorientation, a refocusing of our life. When you get up in the morning, say, I'm going to serve the Lord. And instead of doing crazy things, you do holy things. When you're on your way to work, as you carry your day, the Lord is conscious. The Lord is present in your mind. When you turn on your television or your whatever channels you need to honor the Lord. When you go into your Facebook and your media, you need to honor the Lord. You really do. So we're talking about a reorientation for 2026. All of your heart, where you are, because I really don't know where you are. I don't want to know. I got enough of my problems to deal with. But you have your own life, and you need to bring that to the Lord and ask the Lord to help you reorient your life. And that's why we're doing 21 days of fasting and prayer, to help you achieve that in a much more surgical procedure. It's surgical. It's specific. It's, you know, if you're going to have a surgery, you want the surgeon to do it right. If you got a problem with your stomach, you don't want them to take off your leg. So surgical precision for the Spirit of the Lord to speak to you on those little things that become big things in life. Ah, well, you came to church. So we intentionally want to do away with any type of laziness or sloppiness or inconsistencies. We need to say to the Lord, Lord, I'm tired of a diluted life, a life that is not happy in the world because you know too much of the Lord. And you're not happy in church because you know too much of the world. It's where you come to a place where you no longer want to have a diluted life, but you want to have the Lord's presence in your life. And you don't want this self-reliance. I can do it. You can't. Well, you can get into trouble, and you're good at that. But this self-reliance will kill you. It will. So this year, this 21 days of fasting and prayer, we need to find out from the inside of us how we can develop this holy hunger for God, this desire for God to work in our lives. Quit trying to rely on yourself and ask the Lord. Look, you know, the Lord says, I am the vine and you are the what? Branches. If we are connected to the branches produce fruit. And let me just tell you, with the Lord, wonderful. You know, Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. You need the Lord. So it's not that we're asking you to do anything more than to abide in him, to rest in him, which means being in the Word, reading the Scriptures, praying, living, seeking God's help and guidance, and it will automatically produce fruit. It will automatically produce fruit. The vine produces fruit automatically. I mean, it just because we're there. Who was it that said, Jesus said, without me, you can't do nothing, and if you do nothing, you'll do it without him. To move ahead, you need God's presence in your life, and that's what we're after. Oh, Lord, make 2026 the greatest year of my life as I walk close to you. But look, this passage we read, there was a battle that came. The moment that God's people said, we're done with those 20 years of horrific life, we're not going to seek God, as soon as Israel began to fast and to pray, the Philistines attacked. Now, do you think it's going to be any different for you? No, it's not. The moment you say to yourself, I'm going to serve the Lord, the Philistines show up. No, they show up all over the place. You know, when everything is fine, they show up. They show up at the university where I teach. There they are. They show up at church. Well, sometimes. They show up at the market. They show up everywhere. Yeah. As soon as Israel began to fast and to pray, the Philistines attacked. And I'm going to tell you, whenever you go in the presence of the Lord for renewal, the devil will resist you. He'll fight you. So this is not an easy thing. It's not easy. You fast and you pray and you're getting into a dispute. You're gonna have some pushback. And sometimes the pushback is inside of you. All of a sudden, I won't say demons, but I'll call it carnality, steps up and said, no, don't do that. I wrote something on the five voices that we have to contend with as disciples of Christ, but that's not what I'm talking about this morning. But I'm going to tell you, there is that challenge to your holiness, that challenge to your walk with the Lord. There's always resistance. And when you take this 21 days coming up ahead, all of a sudden, your old habits want to dethrone that. Nah, don't take that seriously. That's no good. What's that fasting thing? Nah, do it. Because the enemy does not want you to do that. And the enemy of your soul does not want you to have rivers of living water gushing out of your life. He does not want you to be salt in the world, which means the ability to cure the pain and the issues of life. He does not want you to be light shining and working so that the Father may be glorified by the good works that you and I do. So 21 days of fasting. It all depends how you fast. You have partial fasting, you have full day fasting. Don't you dare not eat for 21 days. That's not what this is about. But there's no fear of that. I just last thing I can do. But sometimes you do a full day of fasting. In the morning, you don't have breakfast. In the noon, you don't have lunch, and you don't have anything in the evening. And then the following morning, you have breakfast. Well, you know, that's perfectly fine. But you can also do one day, like no breakfast. Why? Because you're denying your body by placing the Lord in the presence of that. You're substituting. Your body has a lot to do with your spiritual walk. Did you know that? Oh, your body rebels. I'm telling you, your body says, I'm the king here. But you need to subdue your body. That's what Paul said. I subdue my body. He even said, I die every day. I'm not asking you to die every day, please. But I do ask you to look at the fasting patterns in your own life and what you're able to do successfully in the presence of the Lord. Take breakfast. No breakfast. Why? Because I'm going to pray and seek the Lord in the place of eating. So it's not a spiritual diet. You're not dieting. It's the work of the Spirit in your life. Well, you probably know all of that, but that's okay. So there will be an attack. There will be a resistance. There will be pushback. There will be. But then what happens when there's that pushback? Well, the pushback does not have the last word. Because when you look at verse 10, all of a sudden, as Samuel was sacrificing in verse 9, as he was presenting the lamb, which is, of course, a type of Jesus, as he was dying on the cross, as he dies on the cross and he gives his life for us, the Bible tells us in verse 10 that when the people trembled at the fear of the Philistines, they trembled at the persecution and the attack, the Lord thundered. I don't know if he went boo or what. But let me just tell you that the enemy is no match for our Lord. And if you seek the Lord and the devil comes around, the Bible tells us clearly you need to just submit to God. Resist the devil and he'll flee from you. So don't take his boo or his threat in your life as the end of the story. Because the end of the story, wait for the Lord to thunder, to shake it off. And he confused the enemy. That actually is an amazing story. You need to read it carefully. You'll find out that the enemy just was so confused that they turned on each other. The enemy is not necessarily as powerful as you think he is. But victory did not come because of Israel's mighty military strength. No. It came because the Lord thundered. And you are not going to be able to beat the enemy in your life with your own strength. There comes a moment when you have to rely on the Lord. Again, we go to the vine. And we go to the reliance to rest in him, to abide in the Lord, to stand still and see the Lord doing it. Let the Lord do it. Come to a place where you say, I just don't know what else to do. Wonderful. Because now God will begin to do it. And there's this trust, this commitment. I cannot explain it except to tell you that it happens. It happens. you trust him. You allow the Lord to do work in your life, in your heart. It's happened to me. It has happened to so many of you here this morning, where all of a sudden you think it's the end, and it's not the end. You think the Philistines have finally achieved their goal. But as you pray and you seek the Lord and you see that the Lamb of God was there, you find out that the Lord always wins. Because you and I may not always stand before the Lord as we want to, as we should, but the Lord always stands behind you, no matter what you do. That's right. Because the Lamb has already won the battle. You just need to taste the winnable battle. Some of us are cheated by the enemy because we live in the bitterness of defeat when the victory is there. You acquire that victory experientially when you expose yourself to the Lord. You already have won, but the devil is trying to tell you you have not. 21 days of fasting and prayer will fine-tune your spirit and your heart for you to see how much God has done for you. Enter into the joy of the Lord. The Lord wants you to have joy in your life. Ask that your joy may be full. But we're grumpy. We're bitter. We're disappointed. We complain. Look, I'm not talking about issues in life that you have to face, because the Philistines will come to you. But when you trust in the Lord and say, Lord, you do it, and stand back, all of a sudden, it happens. The Lord takes over, gives you victory, gives you freedom. He really does. See, so you and I today need to say to the Lord, Lord, in this 2026, from this day on, here is a stone. Here's Ebenezer. I was going to bring 50 stones, but the weather didn't let me go out there and collect them. I may just bring that next Sunday and have 50 stones, maybe more than that. Maybe get 100 stones, a bucket full. I'll try to do that. Go to the riverbank. Hopefully it's not against the law. I'll go to Home Depot and buy them. That's better. And for you next Sunday to come and take one of those rocks with you as a symbol of a commitment that hereunto the Lord has helped us. Hasta aquí el Señor nos ha ayudado. And that the next year, this year as we evolve, it will be a victorious, wonderful year. Because God, the Lord, doesn't leave us, doesn't disappoint us, doesn't walk out on us, doesn't betray us, doesn't gossip about us. Did you know that? God is not a gossiper. What you say to him stays with him. What you say to the brother or sister, it could go all over Facebook. Not with the Lord. One time I was talking to somebody about Facebook and the things they were putting in there. And this guy says to me, he says, oh, don't worry, brother. This is the university. Oh, no, don't worry, professor. I write in code. Nobody knows who's who. So they say Pepe was a bad person, but it was not Pepe. It was Pepa. Unbelievable, the things that go on. The Lord doesn't do that. He keeps it there. I need to conclude. I like for you and I to make a commitment that this is the beginning of Ebenezer, that stone that simply says, the Lord has helped us up to now. Because the Lord has helped you. In spite of your 20 years of, part of the 20 years that you did not really serve the Lord, as this passage implies. But now we're turning to the Lord, and all the laziness and all the issues of life that we're contributing against, now we're moving them away. And we're restoring them by making a commitment of consecration so that yesterday stays there and today is the day of salvation, the day of forgiveness, of reconciliation, of consecration. We need to move this new year into a year of operational, spiritual design, where God works in our hearts where we are, fixing things, rearranging things, strengthening things, Ebenezer. Up to now, the Lord has helped us. And as you begin to do this prayer and fasting, even as we leave this sanctuary, the devil will start fighting you. This is the Philistines. They always do that. Expect it. It starts inside your heart. The battle is always in your mind, in your thoughts. He'll give you a thought. Ah, that guy's crazy. Meaning me. You're probably right. But not my words. Who knows this? Look, I'm saying the enemy knows how to fight. It goes for your thoughts. Gives you crazy thoughts. Thoughts that are not anchored in the word. Thoughts that are anchored somewhere else. Because you probably know better than anybody else here. But you don't. The Bible says that we have the mind of Christ if we care to exercise it. If we care to think like him. If we appropriate those thoughts in our hearts. Wow, what an incredible lifestyle. Lifestyle. When you and I say, from this day forward, I will no longer compromise my walk with the Lord. Every area of my life that I was negligent in the year that had just passed, I rebuke it in the name of Jesus, and I'm asking the Lord to turn everything around for me. And when you make that commitment in the presence of the Lord, he honors that, and he will help you. And you will be able to say at the end of this year, boy, I've already gone all the way to 2027. The Lord has helped us. That's my prayer. So I want to pray for you. And then I'm going to ask the church council to come to the front. And we're going to pray. And you're going to pray for us. Because we need your prayers. We can't do this alone. Church council in our church, the church board, we oversee the finances of the church, the operation of the church. We know what is and what is not. And there have been some rough times this last year. But in all the years that I've been here, how many years of? 47 years. He has never failed us. And that's just a puny 47 years in comparison to eternity. I guess you're 48, Jeff? Yeah. He was 1 year old when he came here. And he was in that corner, in that piano, playing the piano. I have a picture of him making noise. 47 years. He always comes through, but not without a battle. The Philistines come around all the time. When I thought I had beaten them, they show up. So it's a constant life, an endeavor of every day, die daily, seeking God. But you die daily to the thoughts that corrupt you and the thoughts that doesn't help you, the thoughts that destroy you. I have to conclude. The enemy presents himself as the angel of light. And he says to you, this is the way, this is the way. This, here, here, here. Oh, this is good. Church, no. Yeah. And all of a sudden, there's a substitute for your walk with Jesus. There's a substitute for you abiding in him. There's a substitute for your commitment. And your life begins to move away, slowly away. And before you know it, you're so far away that you say, really? And you move away on the small details of life. So guard those things. So Lord, I come to you this morning with an Ebenezer story for our lives. Lord, I look back at this year and I thank you for the victories, and I thank you for your moving, the moving of your Holy Spirit, Lord. And yet, Lord, I confess there are issues that were not resolved. So today, Lord, I want to renounce my lack of commitment in following you. I mean, off and on, Lord, I've not taken seriously your voice to my life. So, Lord, I want to renounce the idols in my life the comforts that try to substitute your presence, Lord. All the idols of compromise, Lord, that happened mysteriously, silently. I pray, Lord, that you would just touch and strengthen us to live a life that is right before you. So, Lord, we commit these 21 days of fasting and seeking you. Lord, I trade my physical hunger for spiritual fire. Lord, you have helped us up to now, despite the failures and the shortcomings. But, Lord, now we want to hear your thunder against my enemies, the enemies of each one of us. Renew our heart, Lord. Let this fast be a landmark. Let it be the beginning of a new life in you, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen, Lord. This is the day
the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it.
May the Lord bless you. Oh, yeah. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord cause his face to shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his face to you and give you peace. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Greet one another in the love of the Lord.
We're so glad you're able to join us today. If you would like to watch the full service with the worship time included, you can check out our Facebook page. For more information about our church, go to our website at www.bbfoursquare.org. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. God bless. See you next week.